This is Core Values. I am Mike Langer, along with the cast and crew of Magic and Poison. We're going to continue on with some interviews now. Right now, we have...
Prince Charming is what I'm cast as. I'm Jacob Baird in real life.
No, I am Prince Charming.
Is this real life?
Maybe I should have said that the other way around, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, it goes either way.
Thanks.
If you get as wrapped up in your role as some actors do.
Well, we need a diva, I think. We need a good cast diva. I'm volunteering.
You're volunteering? I don't know. I've already had Denver in here once. I think
he might. He can have it. I can't out-diva Denver.
So tell me a little bit about your part. And
well, I play the role of Prince Charming, and it's a lot of fun. It's a very active role, you know. Obviously, everybody knows who Prince Charming is, and he's kind of expected to be the athletic hero swinging his sword around, slaying dragons and that kind of thing, and that's always, it's fun to do. It's fun to be that.
Now, have you always liked playing with swords, or have you just recently picked up sword play as a...
I've never actually used real weapons before to do anything. It's fun to kind of, it's a childhood fantasy, if you will. Grab a sword and fence around with people.
Was it tough learning to choreograph the fight scenes? And
you know, that was kind of an interesting challenge, you know, because, you know, I've done plays and shows before, and I'm used to learning how to sing and how to blocking decisions and dancing and things like that. But, you know, remembering fight scenes, and there's a whole nother level of pressure, because if you get something wrong, you have an actual weapon in your hands, and you could get hurt, or the person that you're fighting with could get hurt if you forget it or if it goes wrong. So it was kind of a lot more pressure than I'm used to in remembering it. So
now, those accidents we were talking about earlier, those didn't have anything to do with you, did they?
Actually, no. I think there was one time, and this wasn't even with real swords, it was with like wood sticks that we were practicing with, that the actor I was supposed to kill, and he reflexively moved and, you know, cut my thumb a little bit. But that was about it. The memorable one Jason already talked about, and that was when the sword of the knight who was supposed to be victorious shattered into pieces.
Oh, lovely.
In the middle of the fight scene, and he kind of was like staring at it like, what do I do now? And I was kind of like in the background of this scene, and I was just like, okay, that other knight's supposed to lose, so I just ran in and just, you know, made up some choreography on the spot and disarmed him. And it was so funny because after the show, somebody came up to the knight whose sword broke and was like, oh my goodness, how did you get it so that the sword broke at that precise moment? That was amazing stagecraft. And we're like, yeah, that was something.
We'd
else.
Like to thank our technical crew for preparing.
Lots of hard work there. So that was fun.
So you enjoy what you do, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. And that's part of the character, too. Prince Charming very much enjoys being who he is and is very full of himself and is very like, you know, I'm Prince Charming and that's awesome. And so it kind of goes into the character as well.
I guess that's all I've got for you. I mean, is there anything in particular you'd like to say in regards to the play? I know we're trying to push it hard and get people to come out and see it, so...
Yeah, come see it. Do that. Come see me. Be Prince Charming. It's super exciting.
So much enthusiasm from Prince Charming here right now.
I'm enthusiastic. It's a great show. Prince Charming's in it. Yeah.
Forget the show. Just see me.
And we're going to play a little bit off of one of your tracks right now. This is called Long Live King Charming. And again, this is music produced and composed by Timothy Clue for Magic and Poison.
When I am king, I will change the world and everything. Any land will be place of beauty, and people will say it's because of our courageous King Charming. It's nothing really. When I am king. Dragons will take wing for fear I'm coming. No witch's trickery will dare challenge me. For no king has the banner more fearless than the famous King Charming. I do what I can. Trumpets shall blare.
All right. So, continuing on with our interviews this morning, we have
Ashton Brammer, and I'm playing Princess Briar Rose.
And what kind of theater experience do you have prior to this?
I just graduated from Ohio State University back in the spring, and I've done two main shows there as well as multiple new works.
Very cool. Anything in particular that you're proud of?
Actually, I just shared this morning with the cast. I actually had to play, I had two actual title roles in the last show I did called The Visit, but I also had to do some abstract roles, so I actually played a shelf at one point in the play.
A shelf?
Yes. I had to stand there for at least 30 minutes, not moving.
That sounds...
It was painful. It was really challenging.
She's amazing.
I wonder what the review would be for a role like that. And an amazing turn of events, the role of the shelf played was played quite well. I can't even do it. I can't do it. So, tell me... Oh, my God. So tell me a little bit about your role in the play. Obviously, you said you play the princess, and what does that role entail for you? I mean, what do you bring to that role?
I'm Briar Rose, which, as many of you know, is another name for Sleeping Beauty, and I do a lot of sleeping in the show. I begin the show, I've been cursed. I've pricked my finger at the age of 15 and fell into a sleep, and I've been asleep over 200 years. And I am just awoken at the beginning of the show with True Love's Kiss.
Very cool. Oh, I have no idea where to go from there. I mean, is there anything that's been particularly challenging for you in this role?
Actually, I have played a lot of roles that involved me being more on the evil side of things. So this is really interesting to take a role that I actually have to be very elegant and regal. And I have to have that through my movement, through the dialogue. I have to be constantly on point with that. It's been a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, but you enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It's great. I love taking on roles that I'm not used to playing. So.
Of course, I say that expecting juicy tidbits with the director sitting right next to me, but...
Yes, she enjoys it.
Well, it's kind of a gag order, because we're not allowed to reveal a lot about it.
Well, yeah. The show has some twist in it, so it does make it... We do got to keep a lot secret for the play, and that really, I mean, considering how much I talked at the beginning, like I said, that just gets you to the beginning of the story. Briar, it is a challenge to her role because she comes from 200 years before everybody else. So even in her acting, it has to be something that's obvious that she doesn't fit, doesn't belong in this time, and just... You know, the way she talks, the way she moves, the way she acts, she has to represent a whole different generation.
Sounds like an old Temptation song. The way she talks, the way she moves.
The way she talks. Anyways. you know, all the acting skills that she has, she's taken it on very well and showed us very good performance.
Very cool. So do we have a track for Briar?
We do. And it's called Now It's Time to Dream.
So we will play a little bit of this.
She's very, very accustomed to that. Looks forward to it.
So we will play a little bit of this, and we will be right back with the next interview right here on the Underground. This is Core Values. I am Mike Langer on the Underground. We are here with the cast and crew of Magic and Poison. And right now, we have...
Ella Pilardi.
And you play?
I play Stir, the witch. I would like to point out that I play the young, beautiful witch. I would not take a witch role that was not described as beautiful. I have the rest of my life to play the old, ugly ones. So, Stir's a little different from the other witches. She's the fairest, the youngest, the most beautiful. I like to repeat that as often as possible. It is revealed earlier in the show that she's not all that she seems.
Boy, that's a teaser if I've ever heard one. So, what's your experience in the theater? What is this your first role?
Oh,
or?
No. I actually met Timothy 11 years ago when we played Love Interests in a show. It was interesting meeting his wife for the first time that way. no, I've been acting most of my life. I did classes at Columbus Children's Theater when I was little and a couple shows there. Went to school for it. Went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in New York and... I've always been involved in it. If I ever stray from it, it pulls me back in. It's kind of what I need to do. So,
kind of part of you that when you're not doing it, it kind of feels like something's missing.
Yes, when I'm not doing it, I need to make sure I'm in therapy or counseling to get my emotions out. But this is my free therapy.
Obviously, you said you play Stir. So what has challenged you in this role? What have you liked about it? What would you change?
I love the role because it reminds me a lot of myself, and not the young, beautiful part, but, I'm really not vain. I'm just joking about that, but, no, I do like to emphasize it, but no, her emotion, what she goes through, obviously it's not a realistic situation. We're not, some of us are not dealing with witches every day in our everyday life and all the magic and that sort of thing, but the emotions are still kind of the same. There's that unsureness. Am I doing the right thing in life? What should I do? I've made mistakes. Stir's made mistakes. She feels bad about things that she's done. She's been tricked and manipulated, and she's trying to do the best she can and make the right decision, but she doesn't really know what to do. So I think that's something most of us can identify with in real life. So I really like being able to feel that I can identify with that, and there is a part of me in the character. The challenge is that there are so many emotions. That's also a blessing. I love playing different emotions, like I said, getting my emotions out, but it can be challenging to go from happy to sad to scared to just playing the extremes of pretty much every emotion a person can go through is challenging but fun at the same time.
Sounds like a very dynamic role.
It is. That's why I like it.
Nice.
And she does it very beautifully.
Get closer to the mic to say that.
And she's done it most fair, and which I'd like to emphasize. She's been with us for the first and second production, and very talented. Like she says, we've worked together for years, and absolute ornament to the stage.
And I would like to add that we do have professional hair and makeup people that help me achieve the beautifulness of this role. It's not me.
I would like to emphasize that, too.
Yes. Jason's wife, Carla, is wonderful with hair. She does the hair. And Lauren did the makeup. Lauren Barber. And so they helped me get into the physical parts of the role.
You know, that's one thing that I haven't asked. You know, obviously, there is a certain physicality to this, obviously, to stage in general. I mean, is there any sort of special workout or anything that you guys do to try and...
Denver leads a workout every rehearsal. Yeah. We do some yoga.
Yeah, he came in as an actor, but he's also become the manager of warm-ups. And he has us do things that, you know, break our bones. But, you know, as long as we get the form, that's what's important.
No, that sounds like Denver.
I think we all lost weight during the last run. I know Jacob, Prince Charming, and I were always kind of running around, and I think we both lost weight. And I think, I'm sorry to call you out, Jacob, I can speak for myself. I've gained about 10 pounds since the last show, so I need to get back into it. Oh, yes, affirmative, he said. Oh! He was talking about it.
and we'd geez. Like to emphasize
oh,
that.
Oh, my. No, Jacob, oh, wow. Jacob does have to pick me up at one point, and he couldn't do it the other night. He was huffing and puffing, so I don't know if that says more about his shape or my shape, but I think we both need to get back into the running around and the jumping jacks.
Well, I think what we'll do is we'll play a little bit of one of your tracks from the play.
Okay.
And we will be right back.
All right. Title's called Foolish Me.
All right. So this is Foolish Me on the Underground. Core Values. I am Mike Langer, along with the cast and crew of Magic and Poison, and right now we have a returning guest on the mic.
Hi, everyone. They don't know who I am yet, because I haven't said who I am yet. Oh, yeah, I did. I said it earlier, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
I'm Denver Clayton Ward Jr. I play the part of Gregory the Jester, or the Fool, if you will.
We'd like to emphasize the Fool.
They like to. They also like to emphasize the fact that I'm in charge of warm-ups.
Is there something wrong with warm-ups?
Well, there will be after today.
So obviously we talked a little bit last time that you were on the show about your part and about the play in general, but I mean, what's different about it this time compared to when you played the role last time?
Well, really, all that's really happened is that I've grown more into the character, and those of us that are recurring cast, like me and Jacob and Ella, we've all kind of... And Jason, sorry, Jason, I always forget that you exist.
Ouch! Ouch!
There's character animosity.
Yeah, we're supposed, like, Hark and Gregory, the characters are really supposed to be kind of offsides of each other. And us insulting each other like that is really nice. I'm actually kind of surprised he didn't say anything about me when he was on the mic in the first place.
Not all about you.
Yeah, oh, well.
There it is right
hey,
there.
Hey. Who's on the mic right now, huh?
Uh-oh. Retribution.
Right. You know, having all of us grow into our characters even more, and even after the show the first time, a lot of us hung out still afterwards and did a lot of stuff, hung out and watched movies and things like that. It helped us to grow into our characters even more, because when I got cast as the role of Gregory, you know, his personality and mine are kind of conflicting, because it's not how I act at all in real life. So it was really an interesting challenge for me. Gregory is he's really nice. He's Charming's best friend, and you know, he's
so what you're saying is, in real life you're not nice.
No, I'm a completely horrible person. I'm pretty good. I'm just not the...
So now you're throwing ego into the equation.
Right? Yeah.
And he'd like to emphasize that.
Either way, either way, I lose. So, yeah, Charming and Gregory are really, really good friends in the show, and Gregory has a little bit of a hard time because, you know, Charming is the prince, and he is awesome at everything he does, apparently, but there's Gregory in the background who does a few things better than Charming.
What?
But he's
written
but he's still kind of, you know, in the background. He has to sacrifice and give up certain things, you know, because it's just Charming is the one who is deserving of everything. So, and I think that's one of the main things to learn about with Gregory in the show. Yeah, I'm still talking.
All right, while he's running through the last of his ramble, I do want to mention that Gregory is also the more soft-hearted of them. He's the he's got a lot of romance in his soul and
that's exactly the opposite of what I am.
I was going to say, so this role was a stretch for you, Denver.
There is that opposite.
When he's not, you know, as the jester, his profession is to joke around and observe the insults and so on. And but when the real character comes out, you see that Gregory is actually, you know, very compassionate. And for example, the song that's in this will show you his more romantic side. It's called "Love Meant to Be," and I think "Love Meant to Be," "Love Meant to Be"
or not to be,
quote, is a nice example of this, of the softer side of Gregory.
All right, so right now we will go ahead and play that, "Love Meant to Be," from Magic and Poison, right here on the Underground.
I'm so grateful I found you, and
This miracle can be, 'cause we believe. Let the world ignore in doubt the magic that we sought out. Let the dream precede the love.
Back. I am Mike Langer. This is Half of Core Values with the cast and crew of Magic and Poison. We've kind of gone through all the cast members that we have in studio as my program director, who is in here, decides that he wants to run away suddenly.
Yeah, something I'd like to mention about Love Meant to Be before we go on, because the song actually predates the show. But it's the work that inspired the show. It was a music piece that I had written for my wife. We always talk about the love we have with each other is kind of a fairy tale romance, the lighter side of fairy tale romance. And so I wanted to mention that one was particularly written for my real princess at home. So
that was just touching. You know, everybody has, you know, their inspirations as musicians, and Denver can relate to this as well. It's amazing how one piece of music written, you know, I don't know how long ago you wrote this, but one piece of music can, years down the road, inspire something so much bigger and so much greater when you have more experience to add to it.
Yeah.
So, you know, a song like that, I guess you could say the play kind of grew out of it.
Yeah, and like I said, and you never know that moment, that little small thing that you don't know, you have no idea what it's going to trigger or lead to. And I love those type of moments in life when you actually see the seed that creates something beautiful. So
we don't have a whole lot of time left, but I do want to mention, for a few minutes, the Indiegogo campaign that you guys have going on. You're obviously raising funds for the play and trying to get the message out there.
The show funds itself, but a lot of it has to work off donations in order for the, you know, when you, I don't know if anybody knows this out there, but running a stage production is fairly expensive. So we are running on Indiegogo, a fundraiser for Magic and Poison, so that we can, pay for swords that are broken and, new costumes, new props, and also pay the expenses of using the fine theater that Impact provides us with.
And I've been there. That is quite the venue.
Oh yeah. And, They do all sorts of things there. They it's not just theater production. Sometimes they run, you know, stuff like craft shows, and they even once considered running a car show in there. The room itself, the theater, can be changed into just this, you know, gigantic hall that they can do about anything they want with.
That's pretty cool. I mean, is there a specific site or is there a specific keyword to search for on Indiegogo to contribute to the fund?
Well, actually, I tried posting the URL once, but as you know, with URLs, it can sometimes be long and ugly. Best way to go and get it is to go to Indiegogo.com, just to their main page, and then search for magicandpoison.com. And that's where the trick is. The show uses the old spelling of magic, so it's M-A-G-I-C-K and poison.com. And that will take you to our fundraising page.
Very cool.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Also, you can get to it through Facebook as well. There's many Facebook pages about magicandpoison.com.
Yes, friend them all. Friend them all, like them all.
Spread the word for us, please.
Absolutely. I will say again, this show has all the potential in the world. A great cast. And I'm not just saying that because Samantha's involved with it. But
yes, she is.
Well, okay, that's part of it. But it's not all of it. I really do believe in what you guys are doing.
Well, we think we got a really good thing here.
It seems like it. And, you know, I said this before when I was when I had Denver on before. He and I were talking a little bit about the dynamic between everybody and just kind of some of the improv that was going on during rehearsals. And just, I mean, you guys literally, if it wouldn't have been socially irresponsible of me to do so, I would have been rolling around on the floor laughing.
Oh, no, please be irresponsible. We love it when people express rolling across our floors. And
well, plus it was a daycare and kids. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There was an extra note to be mentioned about the show. I'd like to let Jason Peitzmeier go ahead and announce that.
Sure.
People are getting crushed by chairs as we try to rearrange ourselves in this small room. If anybody's interested in doing any kind of acting and being a part of the play, there are several roles that are still available. We have we need minstrels, which are musicians. We need goblins, fairies, knights. I'm particularly fond of the knights. If anybody, you don't have to sing, you don't have to dance, but you get a sword and you get to attack people. So it's a fun role. If anybody is interested, call Lori at, I'm totally blanking on her phone number. What's her phone? She's your wife. What's her number?
Yeah, my wife handles all the communications for the show. 614-530-1793. And ask for Lori, and she'll be your connection with our show.
Very cool. Well, we are probably just about ready to get out of here. Is there anything else anybody wants to add this morning?
Yeah, thank you for giving us the time to do this. We so much appreciate it.
It's no problem. You know, I always enjoy having people on the show who have something genuine to contribute. Unfortunately, these days, that's getting few and far between.
Absolutely.
So when I get a chance to have a good crew on here, I definitely jump at it. So it's been just as much of a pleasure for me as it has been for you this morning. Guys, again, it's been amazing having you in here. Come on back anytime. You guys are more than welcome. I know I'm planning on having you guys on here at least once, possibly twice more before the show debuts. So bring more people. We'll have to rotate them through the studio.
We'll bring our witches next time. So you can
there you go. There you go.
The show runs starting Halloween night, and then the day after that, November 1st, and then the Saturday following that, two runs, one during the afternoon, one during the evening.
And that was October 31st, November 1st, and November 2nd, correct?
Yes, yeah.
All right, and that is at the Northland Performing Arts Center off of Morse Road on the north side of Columbus.
Yeah, more information at magicandpoison.com.
Very cool. So I am Mike Langer. This has been Core Values. We are getting out of here a little bit early on this Tuesday morning, but we will leave you with...